Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Jerry Williams, the Chief Information Officer of Federal Student Aid in the Department of Education. Jerry, in some ways, this is a return trip for you on my show. In some ways, it's new. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Jason.
So last time we talked, you were the CIO at HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Now you've moved on to the Federal Student Aid, just about a year ago. So talk a little bit about how the transition has been and what kind of learning curve did you face? Because coming from HUD, it's a similar but very different organization.
Right. I guess at the end of the day, the technical components of the job are the same. You know, what differs most is the mission and the culture of the organization. There are a lot of really great people here at FSA who are amazingly talented and focused and committed. And they have been just a great aid in helping me to navigate the learning curve relative to the mission of FSA.
From your perspective, because have you had experience in the education world before? Because I know you were at Interior, you're at OMB, OD&I. I could go through your whole resume if you
want.
Exactly.
That's all. No. Don't do that.
All the times we've talked. But is why education and how did you end up here versus somewhere else?
I oftentimes think about how I grew up, right? And this is, for me, an important area to be in, right? It gives me the opportunity to sort of influence that environment that I grew up in Philadelphia, you know? And so I've not, to your earlier question, had previous experience in education, but I am very appreciative and happy to be here today. And hopefully, you know, I can make a difference.
Now, moving from HUD, which is, you know, by all means considered a fairly large agency, really to, you're moving to a bureau, a smaller organization within a bigger agency. What's the difference for you as a CIO? I mean, you still have the same roles and responsibilities in terms of FSMA or CPIG, and we could go through all the different acronyms. But what's the difference from a size perspective, from a mission perspective?
So it's not really much. I think you hit it right on the head. So the policy base itself is exactly the same. We have the same obligations to play by the right rules. I think the thing that I find to be different is the fact that I can actually get much more done, right? Because there aren't those bureaucratic hurdles that you have to go through. And so here, I think there is the opportunity to get an awful lot done.
From a CIO's perspective, when you're working at an agency like HUD, which is, you know, all over the country, has a mission that is wide and varied, is it nice to sometimes come back to a place where maybe the mission is more focused, where you can say, I'm going to influence this part of an agency or this piece of the mission?
Oh, absolutely. Clearly, FSA's mission, very, very focused. And there is absolutely the opportunity to really sort of hone in and just get things done.
Let's talk a little bit about the makeup of your office. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors? Your IT budget? Give people a sense of what you're working with day in and day out.
So I'll give you two contexts. First of all, I'll start off by giving you a context for understanding Federal Student Aid, and then blend into that a little bit about the technology office that I lead here. So Federal Student Aid is an organization of about 1,300 employees. The technology office, approximately 100 of that 1,300 individuals. We are augmented with over 10,000 employees, private contractors. Our federal IT portfolio is roughly about $500 million, and $137 million of which we manage here within the technology office. Together, the broader FSA and the technology office, we administer the Federal Student Aid Program by, among other things, conducting outreach to high school students and to other college-bound students and their families. We process more than 20 million financial aid applications each year, determining student aid eligibility, disbursing billions of dollars in grants and loans, servicing the accounts of millions of student loan borrowers, and performing oversight of program participants and collecting on default student loan debt.
So when you talk about the budget breakdown, almost $500 million, and then $137 million, is that $137 million really focused on that back-end infrastructure, the day-to-day type stuff?
That's exactly right. It is all, it's running the data center operations and some of the policy-based things around architecture and project management, those kinds of things.
And then the rest of it would go to the mission areas, which are maybe, as you talked about, you know, financial aid applications or grants and loans.
Actually running the applications and systems that help us complete our mission.
And then from a contractor perspective, you talked about almost 10,000 contractors. Now, that's obviously more than just the IT shop. That'd be a huge IT shop.
That's exactly right. But remember, a lot of what we do by way of the support that we get from contractors. So when you're talking about NSLDS or COD, many of those things are supported through contractors.
Your staff alone, are you all FTEs, federal FTEs, or do you have some contractors on your staff as well?
We are too. The technology office is augmented as well. And so we have both federal FTE and contractors supporting in our mission.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into your priorities. You maybe give us a little bit of a heads up in terms of some of the applications and the grants and loans processing. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jerry Williams, the Chief Information Officer of Federal Student Aid.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jerry Williams, the Chief Information Officer of Federal Student Aid within the Department of Education. Jerry, we got a sense of why you came over to FSA and the makeup of your office. You have a pretty sizable budget, $137 million just for your operations side. Let's talk about what you're going to do with that money. What are some of your top priorities?
There are really three high-level priorities. The resolicitation of our virtual data center, which, as you know, is currently provided to us by Dell. And then better aligning our FSA investment management practices with our strategic goals and objectives. And that should drive how we acquire support from the application and system side. And then the last area I would mention to you is we're going to be doing some work over the next 6 to 9 months enhancing the culture within the technology office itself to make it more customer focused.
All right, so let's dive into each of those. If you mentioned the key word there, solicitation, you know that vendors' ears have just perked up if they haven't already done so. Give me a sense of what's the timing around that. What are you really looking for? How much can you talk about it?
I would expect this summer, just a little, this summer we should be going out with a solicitation around our data center environment. Specifics are yet to be determined. So there'll be more to come there, but I would say look out for something this summer.
All right. I know a lot of people will be interested, and I will probably follow up with you on that as well. Management practices, aligning with goals, it sounds like a lot of high level, how do we do better? I mean, how do we improve our business processes in many regards? Give me a sense of what that means and what are some of your areas you're going down that path?
Well, it's one thing to get the money to initiate a project or a service. It's another thing to do the appropriate planning and execution of that. And so when I talk about our investment management practices, it's to make sure that for the funds, relative to the funds that we get, that we actually do the kinds of things that help us fulfill our mission, right? Clear alignment, things line up with our strategic goals and objectives, right? And we literally manage risk.
So one of the things that leads me to is business case processes. Are we talking about that? Are you talking about CPIC, you know, capital plan, investment control? Or are we talking about even more going into the more of a user stakeholder discussion where you're saying, okay, are we meeting their needs based on the plans we have? And I know we may get that into the culture, so I know that's coming.
So it's actually all of the above. It's actually figuring out right up front what the need is, assessing that need up front, figuring out what the likely benefit is, doing the alternative analysis, developing the business case. And then on the back end, it's doing the post-implementation reviews that we actually do what it is that we said we were going to do.
How's it work now? I mean, do you do some of this, but it's not as rigorous and you're just trying to add more rigor to it, or maybe you don't do it at all?
We actually do a pretty good job today, right? This is an opportunity to refine what we already do. We have a fairly successful track record of deploying new capability. This is the opportunity to take a step back and refine that process. So that we think more about risk, think more about the end product itself relative to expected outcomes, you know, that return on investment.
Are you looking at something like Lean Six Sigma or ITIL, or is it another, like an ISO process? How are you going back to make sure you're looking at risk and rigor?
What we're really doing is we're looking at things like COBIT and ITIL as fairly universally accepted methodologies for how you manage IT functions within an organization.
Now, I've heard a lot about ITIL over the last couple of years, people moving to an agency saying they find value. What is your end goal with this? Obviously, you're going to implement ITIL or COBIT, and what do you hope to get on the back end of once it gets implemented?
Well, we're going to implement both. They're both focused on two very discrete areas. One is the upfront management processes. The other is on the back end relative to how you manage and deliver your operations, your infrastructure operations. You know, the hope is that at the end of the day, we become far more knowledgeable about how operations are going. As I mentioned earlier, we're a highly augmented organization. And so we've got to be able to speak in the standard vernacular of most technologies across the country, right, public or private. So the hope is that we'll get there. On the front of it, front end of the process around our management processes, is to give us greater assurance that we're actually able to think through the process of developing and deploying capability.
Have you had experience implementing ITIL and COBIT before? I think you did something similar to HUD, because I remember we spoke about this, and it was a GAO report, if I remember correctly, that really gave you guys a lot of credit for really changing the way HUD manages their IT.
Absolutely. So a lot of what we're doing, what we're trying to install here, in fact, comes from my prior experience with HUD. I think that there is true value in implementing these processes. And again, they're tried and proven, right? So this isn't something that we're ginning up ourselves here that's brand new and the latest sort of fad. These are a set of practices and discipline that have been tried and proven across the industry.
Is there a timing around either or both ITIL and COBIT in terms of you hope to get it in place in the next year in time for the 2016 budget request? What's the timeline?
Some portions of this I actually expect to have an influence on 2016 budget request, right? It'll be iterative. I like to say to folks on the team that this is a journey, right? And so over time, we'll be implementing different facets of this, and we'll immediately begin to realize the benefit. But part of it is the socialization of these practices within the organization so that everyone's up to speed and understands not only how you do it, but the value proposition associated with doing these things.
So ITIL and COBIT are considered obviously IT methodologies, but there's also a business side to this. And is that where this next priority comes in terms of the culture within the office?
Right. We're going to do a couple of things there. We have got to be more aligned with the business. You know, at the end of the day, the drivers for what we do in IT is not just about technology. It's got to be about meeting the mission prerogative, which is more aligned with the business than around these new technologies that we see.
From a business standpoint, you hear a lot of times agencies, and I can use Veterans Affairs Department, but I've also talked to several other CIOs over the last year or so who want to set up customer service offices, meaning you will be aligned with this section of the agency. Is that what you're basically doing as well?
That's exactly right. We will, as part of our fresh look at the technology office, in all likelihood, established a customer service office. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we get further into this discussion. But that is part of the thinking here.
Let me jump into something else that is related, I think, to some of your priorities. This was a recent success story around FSA and presenting data to the public. And there's been a big push by this administration around data.gov and open data. Give me a sense about that FSA successful around data to the public, and you're ensuring that students, parents, teachers, whomever have access to all your data products. And then obviously there's a big mobile play there too.
You're absolutely right. This is a huge area that FSA is very, very committed to, and that is helping students finance their higher education and providing resources to help them make those informed decisions. So in that regard, FSA has developed My Student Data, FAFSA, which you're familiar with, State API is another, and then, of course, the FAFSA completion tool, which helps to make data open and accessible to all individuals. We are also looking into enhancing the use of APIs to improve access to our educational resources. Now, one part of your question, of course, is about mobile and the kinds of things that we're doing there. You know, what I can share is that, to my knowledge, we have not yet developed apps for use by students or parents. We are, however, positioning ourselves to do so through our open government and website rebranding efforts, right? So I hold, in my mind, there are just great possibilities for functionality that we'll present at some point in the future.
Now, that idea of developing apps, is that going to come from your office or come from the mission side with support from your office?
Part of my comments about APIs, making the data available to folks, right, either through open government or through some API that you create, will in itself create innovation in the space, right? And I think you'll see a combination of both things. I think you'll see the public taking that data and developing new apps that we haven't even begun to think about yet. But I think that it's likely that you'll see us developing some mobile apps as well.
One of the big pushes, I think, across government around developing apps is, do we have an app store? How do we develop apps? Do we just house the apps that other people develop, and then we have to worry about other things like security and 508 accessibility. Are you starting to deal with those issues yet? Where are you in that process? Because obviously every agency is at a little different spot.
So we're already actively working with developing relationships with some of the existing app providers or stores, as you mentioned earlier, right? And so much of this is setting the stage for the eventual deployment of apps.
When we talk about apps, let's talk about internal as well. How does mobility fit into what you're doing from an internal operations IT standpoint? Is there a big push for tablets and smartphones? Do people want apps so they can do their jobs easier and away from the office?
So I'm not, of course, I've been here just a little less than a year, so I'm not seeing an awful lot of that. But what I can share with you is that we do use tablets and we do use our phones. We have a very, very robust telework program here, probably better than any place I've ever been in my career, frankly. A majority of our employees can work from anywhere, anytime, any place, and that's pretty impressive.
Now, as a CIO, is that good or bad? Because does it cause you a little bit of headache?
You know, frankly, we have figured out how to manage a mobile workforce, how to allow people the flexibility to work from home pretty well. It actually creates no headaches for me. It's been great.
So no one calls you on a snow day and says, hey, Jerry, the network's down. We need your help. You don't get those calls?
I don't. And you know what's most amazing? We've had, approximately 9 snow days this year. And I will tell you that we continue to do the work of the government. FSA is one of those telework organizations that, despite the fact that the federal government may be closed, we continue to work at home using things like Citrix and those kinds of mechanisms to connect to our networks remotely. But we also have IP capabilities on our phones that allow us to redirect even our telephones so that it's totally transparent to the user or the customer that we're actually working from home. So we have a very, very robust telework program here at the Department of Education.
Is that an area that you're looking at saying, okay, how can we make it even better? Is there a path that you say, okay, here's the next step in that telework program? Because I think a lot of agencies have that initial program, but if, as you say, you have one of the more robust ones of all the places you've been at, is there another level you want to get to, or do you feel like where you're at now is probably pretty good, and there's always technology changes, everybody changes a little bit?
Now, I think there's always room for improvement. And to that question, what I will tell you is one of my best partners here at the Department of Education is actually Danny Harris. Right? And I'm sure, knowing Danny, that's a topic that he and I will broach. What is the next step? Again, I've been here a little less than a year, and much of the time has been really sort of figuring out the organization and trying to lay out a vision for where we want to be. I'm sure telework is going to fit into that model as well.
Well, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jerry Williams, the Chief Information Officer of Federal Student Aid.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Jerry Williams, the Chief Information Officer of Federal Student Aid within the Department of Education. Let me move on to the customer service piece. One of the things that I think I remember seeing recently is around the integration of customer service and the feedback so you can develop some of the technology to streamline website, create new services. You mentioned that you're creating kind of a new customer service organization within your IT. Can you talk a little bit more about that effort and how's customer service from a technology perspective? How are you guys addressing it at FSA?
A couple of key things here. So as I mentioned, we are reorganizing the technology office to create a greater focus around how we best service our customers with business as the driver. Part of this change includes the establishment of customer service representatives who will work directly with the business units in identifying and deploying new solutions. That's very, very different than it's currently the case. And then, as you know, an example of all of this is some of the work that we've already done around studentaid.gov, which is, I should mention, just a little plug here for FSA, an award-winning website that actually consolidates 4 websites, making it simpler to search for federal student aid. So those things are happening, much more to come. We're still in sort of the early stages of this process, right? But it's the kind of thing that we did over at HUD, and it showed great promise.
So you can search across four different databases, but can you apply? Because that's the golden cup there. Can you apply online, or do you have to go to another website to apply?
To be clear, the four websites is what we actually consolidated. It wasn't really databases, right? But it does make it simpler to electronically apply for student aid.
Because I think, you know, one thing that, and you'll remember this as well, is that the eGov Act and the eGov projects that came in the early 2000s, a lot of them had a lot of great potential. But where they fell short, I thought many times, was the ability you could find something, but you can't always apply. One thing that I've seen from agencies over the last, again, few years, I think as technologies, they've grown more comfortable with those technologies, is adding that transactional capability. So I think that, of anything, you know, especially federal student aid is an area.
Well, let me give you an example. FAFSA allows you to actually apply for student aid, right? And so we are, I would say, it's a beginning and not an end. To your earlier point, clearly there is the opportunity to do more, and we'll exploit those things. And part of, frankly, developing APIs will allow us to look at other possibilities, perhaps beyond what we're thinking about today, and also involving, you know, the public in that process. So there's much more we can do, but you can actually apply for student aid today using electronic means.
Let me jump over. I did a recent interview with the Education Department Chief Information Security Officer Steve Graywall. We talked about new cyber capabilities. And I know that just from the efforts around government, when you talk about continuous diagnostics and mitigation, the CDM program, and there's been the push for almost a shared services type of approach to cyber. Are you guys part of that security operations center and the other cyber improvements that's kind of going on at education more broadly?
We're definitely linked at the hips with the Department of Education. As I mentioned earlier, Danny Harris and I collaborate around a majority of these things. But the one area that I would mention that came up in your interview with Steve is our deployment of a new security operations center here at FSA. I think what shows itself as true collaboration is the fact that we actually have two security operations systems, one, of course, at the department, and the other that we stood up this past summer here at FSA. So those two centers provide 24/7 coverage of the department's operating environment, not duplicative, but rather a shared responsibility between the two and a coordination between the two bodies. We're actually already beginning to reap huge cost savings and enhanced capabilities from this arrangement, as well as an improved cybersecurity awareness and a host of other benefits that I won't go into at this moment.
So you have to help me understand how this isn't redundant capabilities. You have two SOCs, and you know, one SOC, a 12-hour SOC, and the other SOC is a 12-hour SOC?
That's pretty much it, right? It is a leveraging of the resources that we have, as opposed to what may be the norm sometime, which is creating two separate and distinct set of security operations. This is actually a coordination of the two. To be honest with you, as we built our SOC here at FSA, we actually brought in the department folks to work along with us in developing the SOC.
I think that's important to know, because I think when people hear, oh, there's two security operations center, why not one? And so I think understanding that it was done in a complementary fashion, it was done in a collaborative fashion is important. You talked about more cost savings, more capabilities. I know cybersecurity gets sensitive. Can you talk a little bit, though, about some of the hot topics, like whether it's continuous monitoring or two-factor authentication? Is that something that FSA is starting to go down those paths as well?
We're doing that, but we're taking the department's lead on that, right? We are one department. And so the department, actually, Danny Harris and Steve Grewal, actually have the lead in defining how we do that, along with, of course, Linda Wilbanks from my team, who's the CISO here at FSA.
Because I know that, you know, there's a big push, for instance, from DHS. And when I talked to Steve Graywall from the CISO at Education, he had said that some of the initial CDM capabilities they had implemented, and then they're looking at DHS for help with that kind of phase two. So I'm sure that will come down your way soon enough. When you brought up Danny Harris a couple times, I think there's always an interest in terms of how governance works between the parent agency and the child agency, if you will. Mm-hmm. When it comes to shared services, a big push from the administration on that as well. Give me a sense of how you guys collaborate, how you're partnering to maybe take advantage of some of the capabilities that education's putting in place.
Danny Harris, the department CIO, and I have a longstanding relationship, both from our days working on federal financials, as well as our roles as CIO at the federal level. This has proven to be both advantageous for both of us, right, and the department as well, given that we collaborate on almost everything that we do. We use the same IT investment management strategies, and we work to ensure that the department as a whole is optimizing its IT spend for reducing duplication. A great example in this area is what we're doing around IT security, enterprise architecture, software licensing, and collaboration tools. We work really hard to ensure that the department's customers, both inside and out, have a consistent experience, whether they're engaging on FSA services or department-wide services. We're trying to create an environment for how we best manage a department-wide IT portfolio, which is important both to myself and to Danny, as well as the department's leadership.
Several agencies are going down the path of, for instance, email in the cloud, or they're going down the path of, you know, collaboration tools like SharePoint as a shared service is kind of one for the entire agency, one department. Are you guys down there yet? Like, one thing that you haven't brought up too much is cloud computing, for instance. You talked about the virtualized data centers as maybe one example.
So let me throw out to you an example. You talk about collaboration, right? We have a single collaboration tool that actually FSA stood up for the benefit of the department. So once again, it's not always the department taking a lead, but sometimes FSA will take the lead and provide a capability that serves the department at large. And so, yes, we're doing those kinds of things when the opportunity presents itself. And in fact, that's probably not fair. We're actually leaning ahead. Sometimes we're exploring these opportunities in advance of the opportunity presenting itself.
Jerry, we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, I do want to talk a little bit about vendors. Sizable budget, you got a solicitation coming out, so people are going to be interested. Give me a sense of what they need to know about working with your office. And I know that, for instance, you're well known in the community. So do you meet with vendors? Do you pass them over to some of your colleagues within FSA who are more appropriate to have those conversations?
So I do a combination of all of them, but a couple of important things that I would say to individuals who are interested in doing business here. First of all, as you mentioned a moment ago, contractors are a critical part of how we deliver on our mission by augmenting our government staff. As an organization, I would share that FSA is a fast-paced environment that incorporates new technologies and innovation as a way of improving our services. We also, you and I have been talking quite a bit about this, we encourage collaboration between customers and our vendor partners in order to meet our organizational goals and objectives, and we embrace the true meaning of delivering quality customer service throughout the organization. To the latter part of your question, it's a combination of both. So when vendors reach out, there are instances where I'll very readily sit down and meet with them, but I also try to bring in the rest of my team as appropriate to sit down and talk with vendors about their offerings.
All right, I know you'll probably get a couple calls based on this interview, so appreciate the time as always. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My special guest today was Jerry Williams, the Chief Information Officer of the Education Department's Federal Student Aid. Jerry, as always, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.